This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast, and we're a couple of weeks into football season, and we've got some data now. We got some points that we can take some things from. But first, we want to start off with our Road Grader of the Week, sponsored by C&G Paving. Obviously, a consistent sponsor of the podcast, and we're thrilled to give this Road Grader of the Week out to a guy who did it both ways in a really big win for Fork Union, Mark Schumann's debut as a head coach, and Carter Crawford really got the job done.
Yeah, I mean, we know coming into Fork Union season what to expect from them leadership-wise on both sides of the line. You know, Nick Lampro here, Miles Brickhouse there, and then you have a guy like Carter Crawford have a game like he did against Bishop O'Connell. Were four tackles, three of them sacks. That's always good.
Yes.
But yeah, setting the tone up on that defensive line, and then also playing at tackle, doing a little blindside help there for Alex Williams, who was a huge factor in this game. The Fork Union passing attack, every bit as good as their rushing attack, and they put up, over 400 yards of offense?
441 total yards of offense, two passing touchdowns early on. Just Crawford doing a nice job of protecting a dynamic group of skill position guys.
And this wasn't dink and dunk passes. They were throwing downfield. And, you know, a lot of yak, too. But you got to like, I mean, Schumann talked about it before the season began, that they expected to have multiple looks. And this is them coming out there and showing just that. And you can't do that without a guy like Carter Crawford on both sides of the line. And, I mean, it's just a fantastic start for Fuma. And got a 1-0 when you're a first-year coach. That's got to feel amazing. Yeah. And especially for these seniors and all these guys sort of buying into the system and seeing what a very short offseason for them looks like. You know, boarding school like Fork Union, they don't get a huge window to prep up for these games.
Inevitably, they seem to get better as the year goes on. Even in years where they've been down, by the time they're at week four, week five, they're a lot better than they were week one just because they've had more time together. But Mark Schumann knows how important offensive line play is at the high school level. He was part of what I would consider maybe one of the best high school offensive lines, not just in the state of Virginia, but maybe nationally ever. Yeah, it was him,
Russell Bodine, Jacob Ruby,
Skylar Allen. I mean, all, you know, there's an NFL guy on there in Bodine. You got Skylar Allen, who was a 4-year starter at Ohio. I mean, like, Ruby was a darn good player, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you're really talking about one of the great offensive lines in high school of all time. You know he's going to put a premium on that. And Carter Crawford getting him started off right in that first one. Offensive player of the week. Not a lot of offense around the area, and we're going to jump into that in a minute. But Caleb Shelton from Louisa is the easy pick here. 21 carries, 136 yards, really big outing for him. You know, I said it to somebody else. I think I said it on the radio with Jay James the other night. And it's just there's guys at Louisa that you can almost forget about because they are so deep with ball carriers. I mean, just they're lousy with ball carriers over there. They got tons of them. You got Jarrett Hunter, obviously. We know what Jarrett brings to the table. And then you throw in Robbie Morgan, had a big week in week one. Then you turn around and Caleb Shelton has another big week. I mean, Alex Washington has, he's probably going to have an explosive week at some point. I mean, they just have guys on guys on guys that can run the ball. And it helps, too, that they've got a darn good offensive line in front of them.
Yeah, I think when you look at Caleb Shelton, going for 136 against Chancellor in the win over there, one of the few teams sitting at 2-0 now, Louisa County, one of the few teams managing this out-of-district slate.
Boy.
But Shelton putting up the big numbers. You know, Hunter does a great job, 95 yards for him. Morgan, great job for him, 76. And then, yeah, you look at that, you think, okay, well, you're talking about like 170, 180 yards there of rushing, and then Shelton throws on a 136 on top of that. I mean, I don't know how to describe how just sort of heartbreaking that is for you as a defense when you have a guy running hard like that and you're having a hard enough time stopping those other two guys.
Yeah.
And of course, those are the two guys they're going to try and stop when Hunter goes for 219 in week one.
And there's just no let up. There's no let up when you're playing Louisa. You know, you think maybe if you think Jarrett Hunter's getting a blow on the sideline for a minute, you know, then, okay, this might be a little... No, Caleb Shelton set the tone for this team in the season, you know, set the tone for this season with his play in the scrimmage against Goochland, where he, you know, was trucking guys in the secondary, rolling over people. Like, if that's, like, the second or third or, like, whatever, I don't know. Maybe it's just 1A, 1B, 1C with this group. I mean, and anybody who's got the ball in their hands is going to do some damage. That's just how Louise is playing right now. They are stocked up at running back.
And obviously what you have to like is just the offense as a whole making the reads. Yeah. You know, taking what they can get. And the fun thing with Louisa when you watch them, it's not like it's just a, you know, 1 yard gain, 2 yard gain, and then somebody broke an 80 yarder. No, these are all just 7, 8, 9 yard gains. It's just what they do to you. It's really quite demoralizing as an offense, and that's its purpose. That's why it is run that way.
It takes your soul, man. Mm-hmm. It takes your soul. So, defensive player of the week, any number of guys we could have chosen on the Louisa squad, but we're going to dip back a week. We kind of got with our football preview coming out. We did not get to put together a podcast last week, so we're going to dip into last week with another team that's 2-0, Blue Ridge. Malik Brown gets our defensive player of the week this week / last week with his interception that changed the game against Nansman Suffolk. It was one of those games. It was a hot day up at Blue Ridge, and it felt like that it was tilting towards a situation where it got out of hand, and Blue Ridge got frustrated, and Nansman Suffolk was able to pull one out. But Malik Brown at 6'8", all 6'8", a defensive back of him, leapt up on the sideline, yanked down the ball, pulled it in, and took off down the sideline. I was right there. It didn't look like he stepped out at all, but they called him out there, but they quickly score a touchdown and throw it right on top of that. And I think that, you know, that just changed the complexion of the game for Blue Ridge. A huge play, sort of impact type play from a guy who maybe his future is going to be in basketball at 6'8", and with all kinds of offers rolling in. But the guy can play a whole lot of football too. Darn good player, darn good athlete, and a really a strong game-changing play in that one.
Yeah, and it's no surprise Blue Ridge has actually always been really good at this, getting the basketball guys to come out and play football in the fall. And I mean, it's impressive. I mean, if you're a football coach, I don't know if there's anything better than finding out you've got a defensive back at that length, with that speed, that stride, that wants to sit there and ball hawk.
Not only that, but like, this is a guy who's a quarterback, a backup quarterback last year. You know, so now, you know, you're seeing a guy who's just in it for the team. He's going to play whatever role there is. You know, with Kenyon Carter showing up, they had a need, you know, defensive back. And they've got athletes all over the place back there, and Lance Gaskins, Kenyon Carter is back there. He's roaming around.
Isis Lewis,
Cameron Keeley. You know, they've got Isis, like you said. Isis Lewis is capable of all kinds of destruction, whether it's return, defense, offense, whatever. That guy makes an impact. So, Blue Ridge has got the athletes. They're geared up, and they were off to a really good start, 2-0. They blew the doors off Hargrave on the road. That's a big win for them, taking care of business. So we'll see kind of how things play out down the road. But Malik Brown, defensive player of the week this week / last week. Mm-hmm. That wraps up the awards. Now we kind of get into it. This has been a rough start, frankly, across Central Virginia. A lot of teams sitting now at either 0-1 or 0-2. Small sample size, so we don't know what's going to happen. And obviously things can change at an instant. And there's a lot of teams that have really good opportunities this week to make turn things around and get things headed in the right direction at the very least. But we talked about them already, but Louisa is who we thought they were, at least so far. Really big test coming up with Massaponics, but 2-0, wins over Chancellor and Cortland. They're playing really solid football right now.
Yeah, I don't think there was any question coming into the season who just about everybody in the area thought would be the team with the bullseye on their back when district play starts. I think the issue here is actually just how far ahead they might be from everybody else. I think they're playing a different brand, and everybody else has got a lot of catching up to do. At the start of the season, you wonder, is Western going to be up there? Is Orange going to be up there? What are things going to look over like in rebuilds at Albemarle and Charlottesville and everything? And it's just, granted, there's some really good teams that have rolled through town. Eastern View has always been a problem for our schools.
Always.
You can ask Louisa County. They know firsthand.
Yeah. Ask Orange County every regular season, it seems.
Yeah. So some of these out-of-district schedules are challenging. I mean, I'm all for it. I don't think you're gaining anything with a cupcake schedule and then jumping into district play and then finding out that it turns out we're a little softer than we thought. I think having a chip on your shoulder going into week, you know, 4 and 5 is a lot better than feeling mighty tall and proud at 3 and 4 and 0, having played a bunch of teams that you're never going to see in the playoffs.
And the big thing too is just that, like, you've got, like, not to pep talk everybody, but like, you got to keep that confidence, because again, you got to recognize who you've been playing, the difficult situations that you're facing. You know, a lot of these teams are starting young quarterbacks or inexperienced quarterbacks. I mean, that's a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah, and you never know when that tide turns. Take a Buckingham County team that has just struggled mightily against Appomattox after owning them for quite a while there. You know, that first game of the year for them every year, the Battle of the Axe, two forestry schools that just have a great rivalry there. And Buckingham's looking at their schedule saying, oh, we got Appomattox and Goochland out of the gate. And how different that is when you come out there. Eventually, you get a system that you can buy into, you have the talent around you, and then you take down Appomattox and do it in decided fashion, not like they just squeaked one out there. And now you have an opportunity to, like, maybe you can beat Goochland and be at 2-0. So you never know. That's why you got to stay, like you said, stay up. And
stay confident right now.
Because you get one of these wins, and it packs a lot of points. You know, if one of these teams ever knocks off Eastern View in the regular season, it's going to matter.
It's definitely going to matter. And I think what's interesting, too, is the Goochland-Buckingham matchup. I'm excited about that one this week. Goochland took on a Lafayette team that would be like the Eastern View of Williamsburg. I mean, that is a different animal, ton of D1 guys, two Division I tight ends, which is the first time I've heard of that in a while. Like, what squad's got two D1 tight ends?
We've seen them twice in the Final Four, once against Western and then against Louisa. And, you know, that Louisa team in 2017 was no joke, and Lafayette somehow hung around with them. You know, didn't get the win, but...
they're well-coached, great program, consistently very, very good. Really tough first week matchup for Goochland. So you got to figure that Goochland doesn't lose two in a row very often. Hadn't lost a regular season game in, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, they had a 3-year run there, 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah, so they're going to be hungry against Buckingham. I think that's got a chance to be a fantastic football game.
The similarities there with Goochland, not to get, like, too nerdy, but the last time they won a state title, they started out, like, I think it was 1-2, lost their first game against Fork Union. Same thing. They had gone all the way undefeated, and then they lose to, I think it was Gretna in the state final in 2011. And then 2012 starts out a little rough, and then they win out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, another reason, like, all right, let's pump the brakes on
things that happen in August and September are not as significant as you think they are. Yeah. I mean, it's something we love to do. We're going to read into things all over the place during this podcast. We're going to read into it all in weekly briefing, but... this is, you know, there a lot of things can happen. A lot can change. Next week, we could be looking at a completely different ballgame. And one team, let's just talk about a couple of teams that really have a chance to kind of change things a little bit. Western versus Spotswood, that's a huge opportunity for Western to bounce back. That Turner-Ashby game is not the result they wanted or expected going against the Knights. Obviously struggled a lot against the run. They've got to shore that up and figure that out. But Western against Spotswood, another team that runs the ball really, really well, a real chance of redemption. This is a Western squad that takes a lot of pride in what they do. I expect that maybe we're going to see them bounce back a little bit. The offense was there. They scored enough points to win. They've just got to figure out that defensive piece and kind of get things locked in. Charlottesville, Harrisonburg has been having a lot of struggles out of the gate. That's a really big opportunity for Charlottesville to get on track. They've got a lot of injuries already at quarterback again this year. So if they can figure that piece of the puzzle out, get that going. I love what they did with Jaleon Adams-Mallory, the big defensive end. They stuck him back at tailback or fullback or whatever they call it in that triple option. And he was running the ball downhill. That gave him a big power threat. And that put Isaiah Washington out on the wing where he is just super dangerous. They got a lot of guys who can play that wing spot. Adding Adams-Mallory to the backfield, I think, got the potential to be a little bit of a game changer for them. So Charlottesville definitely has faced one of the most difficult schedules. Glass, yeah. James Monroe already.
Charlottesville and Orange are battling for it. I mean,
Orange, good point. Yeah, Orange with a real tough one too. But big opportunity for Charlottesville against Harrisonburg this week. I think they've got a shot. If they can pull that one off, then they can really get things back on track.
Yeah, and then more of the same. I mean, if Louisa takes down Massaponics.
Boy.
Yeah, that's 3-0 with a, like, you can't capitalize a number, but
nope.
Yeah, it's
3-0 against that schedule is nuts. Good. I mean, they got to feel really good about where they're at that point, especially as they kind of keep tuning up and keep getting better. They replaced, obviously, losing Brandon Smith is going to hurt anybody, but they have really not missed much of a beat right now. They're just, the defense looks fantastic. They're flying to the football. They got a bunch of killers out there at outside linebacker and Sims and Aponte. So I think it's going to be really fun to, kind of see what Louise is able to do. That's going to be a blast of a matchup there. And then when you kind of peek down the schedule. Yeah,
jumping into the privates, Fork Union and Benedictine. That's a team that Fork Union struggled with.
That's put your big boy pants on game right there.
So Fork Union shows what they showed against Bishop in week one, against a Benedictine team that we've seen them against Fuma, we've seen them against Woodbury.
They're excellent.
They're always very physical. There's always a major Division I guy, usually two of them, on the roster. And so Fork Union shows against that Benedictine team, we'll know they're definitely the real deal there.
Yeah. I mean, tough matchups continue this week, though. Badger Henry Roanoke at Almar, that's another difficult, challenging matchup. And then you got Orange at Eastern View. We already talked about Eastern View. Turner Ashby's riding high at 2-0 coming into Monticello. Madison's had some trouble with George Mason in the past. That's a difficult bull run matchup for them. All that kind of considered, then you're staring down Nelson County at Fluvanna, and like we talked about, Goochland at Buckingham, which should be a blast of a game. But Nelson at Fluvanna is an important one for either of those two teams. Nelson's got to enter in that Dogwood District gauntlet, and then it's kind of on at that point. They really struggle to hold on to the ball against Page. They're just not. They're just not at the point program-wise, and not very many people are around here where they can overcome as many mistakes as they made in that first quarter against Page. But if they can get on track and kind of control things, they can, at the very least, hang with Fluvanna and make things interesting. Fluvanna gets a chance to bounce back after losing, a second half where they just kind of squandered it a little bit.
Yeah, Spotsylvania had the JD's number this year, both Monticello and Fluvanna. A much improved Spotsylvania squad, by the way. I mean, it's very different sort of program over there, physical ground game that they're running, which was great preparation.
There were years there where Spotsy was weak, and they are not at that point anymore. They are a tough squad.
No, that's a playoff team now. They showed it last year, and they're doing it again this year.
Fluvanna is just playing. But Fluvanna has got some good things happening offensively. Still scored 27 against Spotsy. So, again, similar situation to Western. If you can figure out a way to stop a physical run game, and George Brown and Felix Rodriguez at Nelson are nothing to be trifled with. But I feel like it's going to be tough if you can't control Page's wishbone. I think it can be a real challenge if you're going to try and control Fluvanna's wing tee. That could be a tough sign for Nelson. So they're going to have to figure things out this week and kind of overcome that, because Kobe Edmonds is super dangerous. He can do it with his arm or his legs. It really should be a fun week, a really good chance for some teams to kind of get things going. But in the meantime, there's just a lot of squads that have a lot to figure out.
Yeah, it's. I think it's right now at a point just taking your licks and keep on ticking kind of thing. Make sure you stay healthy, and good things will happen in time. The other great news, and these teams all know it, they get to play each other.
Yeah, it's coming up.
So it's not too far away.
We're only 2 weeks away from district play. Three weeks away from district play. So a lot of big games coming up. And we'll get to see a lot of squads see what they're doing. Like we said, small sample size so far, but a lot of teams with a lot of holes, a lot of things to work on. So we'll be back with you next week. We really appreciate you listening, and we'll check in with you then.